بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to my podcast Iftar for Soul, 11th episode. And the first 10 days of Ramadan are over, and now we are entering the second part of Ramadan. I hope that you all are safe, and it is weekend, it's Friday, so I hope that you will find time to unwind, to relax a bit, to process everything that happened this week. And I really hope Allah fills your weekend with comfort and ease, and I hope that Allah blesses me with the opportunity and the ability to deliver the message that I am going to do today, as it is a quiet, I would not say it's a sensitive topic, but it is a topic that addresses many people, especially in these times, including myself. And there's no guessing game today. It's quite simple. The topic is actually related to depression and loneliness. Like, how do we process that? And before I start, I also would like to, it invites a disclaimer, this topic, which is that in no way I am discouraging you to seek professional help. Actually, Islam encourages professional help also, there's an ayah in the Quran that actually, where Allah encourages people to seek assistance of people of knowledge and experts. That is why, you know, if people say that, you know, you do not have to go to doctors, you know, you just have to pray a bit more, people start highlighting lack of connection to Allah if they are facing depression and they're going through really tough times. And I think that instead of making people feeling bad about their, you know, I'm talking about the Muslim community at the moment, instead of making them feel even worse about their connection to Allah, because we are no one to judge that, I think it is important that we encourage them to seek professional help, and that we can fight this taboo of going to a psychiatrist, and also realizing that it is completely normal, that there's nothing wrong with us if we seek a help from a psychiatrist and we seek therapies. So the topic that we are going to talk about is actually the surah. It's number 93, and I think today also is going to be quite a mix, that, you know, I will be shifting back and forth between today's times and the time of the Prophet. But just to put things in perspective, I will start with the religious aspect of my podcast. What's really interesting, why I like the surah so much, and I think it's so profound in its meaning, because it really humanizes our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, I think growing up, you know, we are always taught about how prophets were, you know, they had their flawless characters, and we really over glorify prophets to an extent that we completely steal their human nature, like, you know, their humanness, so to say. Like, we need to, like, for us, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very much a human, and even if, you know, he was, you know, he was a prophet, he was delivering a message, he had his human sides as much as we do, and this is what makes me respect him even more, because I'm able to connect to him for the pains that he went through, and because of his human character, I can connect with him, because this is what Allah says in the Quran, that I sent someone like you, like from amongst you, so that, you know, we can connect to them and not hold them to a position so high that we lose the humanitarian connection to that person at the end. So this surah actually was revealed. Many scholars have said that there was a time when there was a pause in revelation, quite a long pause. Some scholars say it was 6 months, some say shorter, some say a bit longer. But let's, you know, for simplicity purposes, I'm going to mention 6 months. And, you know, in that moment, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not get any revelation. He did not see the angel Gabriel also, Angel Jibril Alayhi Salam. He did not see any dreams. He did not have any kind of connection to Allah at all. And, you know, he started to question, and this is where it gets so interesting and for me so relatable, that, you know, he started to question things like, have I failed in my mission? Were I not delivering the message properly? Is there does Allah hate me now? Or is it something that I should have done more? I could have said something else. I could have done something more. You know, these are so... I was really surprised that a man of that stature, with of that position, was a man of that status could also go through these emotions, where he started to feel really lonely, and he used to start having anxiety. He was borderline depressed, and he was really sad about this entire situation. And to make matters worse, his aunt, we talked about this pair in my fifth episode, if I'm not wrong. Where his uncle, you know, I was talking about where his uncle was rejoicing the death of his son, his wife, so his aunt basically, even she told him, and she made a remark, has your Satan abandoned you? And this really hurt him even more. So, you know, this also shows that how do we have to take care of people who are undergoing anxiety and depression, how to be careful with the choice of our words. And she said something to even hurt him more. So, you know, he was going through a very difficult time, and he was really questioning himself if he had done justice to the message, or has he failed in the mission that he was given? Why is he not worth it anymore? That Allah speaks to him, or the angel speaks to him. Have I said something wrong? You know, all of these was going on through his mind, and this is when the surah comes down. And the surah comes down for me, it's one of the most incredible way it can, because, and now I will take this point to connect to today's time. I was actually, you know, just I was researching a bit. What do psychiatrists suggest? You know, if you are going through a phase of sadness, of depression, where you feel helpless, lonely, and of course, apart from seeking professional help, which I again say it's very vital to do that. But apart from that, you know, I was thinking what other things we can do. And apart from surrounding yourself by people who love you or who care for you, it's also highly recommended that you go out. You go for walks. You connect to the nature. You go out in the nature. You become a morning person. You know, you try to sleep at night, because I think one of the characteristics, what I came across during my research, is that either you sleep a lot or you do not sleep at all. Especially at night, you stay awake. What I read was that the psychiatrist really recommended that you go out for morning walks. You wake up early in the morning. You make a morning routine. You try to take in the sun as much as you can. You try to think that it's a new day. It's a new hope. You know, as the saying goes, that it's a new day of opportunity, and we have a new day at our disposal that we can use. So when I was reading that, I was also surprised that is exactly what Allah says in the first ayah of this surah. And I will get to that in a bit. But what is really interesting about the surah for me is that the surah is divided into three parts. First, it talks about a spiritual depression. Then it talks about a social depression. And then it talks about what are one of the healthiest ways that you can do to overcome that. So it is more or less kind of a homework for us, a kind of an activity that we can do whenever we feel down, and whenever we feel either too lazy or too shy or whatever reason to seek professional help, which I think we should. But if we are unable to do that for whatever reason, we should. I think these are one of the things that we can resort to, because these, I will come to that, and you will see that these are the topics that you would also find in self-help books, books where they talk about how to make the most of your day and how not to get into this depressive cycle where we feel completely lost. And you know why I said especially in today's times, because so many people have lost their jobs. People of countries are facing economic challenges. So many people are feeling not a bit less worthy, because I was actually, it's quite interesting, because I was talking to one of my friends who's actually an actor, and he works in the theater, and he felt that he's in such a lower status, that his profession is on such a lower status, that he's unable to go and work, and he's unable to go and perform that he would really love to do, just because of this disease, and that his profession is not as important as other professions. So that brought in a lot of social depression. So that's where I was going. So this is what social depression is, that where you feel that your value is less compared to someone else around you, or your profession, or what you do, or you feel less important, or if you, especially also for those people who have lost their loved ones, in a way, either they broke up, or their relationship ended, or their marriage ended, for whatever reason, they feel that they are not, they were not good enough, they're not worthy of love, they were not worthy of whatever reason, they have failed in their mission, so to say, right? Or friendships have broken, or you're not in touch with your friends anymore, or you're not able to hang out with your friends anymore because of lockdown. Or I was going through that last year, especially in March and April. My relationship had come to an end, and you know, that was also quite a hard moment for me. And also, not only that, my relationship to my friends was not the same anymore, because I felt that I was unable to see them, and I felt really lonely in those times. So I think COVID has, I mean, on one hand where it is taking lives, but on the other hand, it is also quite heavy on an emotional level for many people. And we are discovering, you know, many people, they were able to process many things in their lives through meeting friends or going out or hanging out in a park or at a bar or at a restaurant or getting together with people, you know, that this feeling of community. And that is completely now, you know, we've been robbed of that. So now this is where social depression comes in. And then then, you know, talking about spiritual depression is that, you know, where you actually feel that God hates you, or you've sinned so much. And this is something I've heard so many times, where people are like, yeah, I'm definitely going to hell. I mean, look at me. Allah definitely hates me, or God definitely hates me. Universe, I've also heard, universe hates me. I always have a bad karma. What, I'm not worthy of forgiveness. I cannot stand in front of Allah. I cannot pray, because I definitely, Allah hates me. Allah doesn't like me anymore. I drink alcohol, or I go to clubs. As a Muslim, I'm not covering how I should cover, and I mean both genders here. I mean men and women. You know, we get into this spiritual depression where we feel that we are not worthy of Allah's mercy, right? I'm going to talk about. I would like to stick to saying Allah here. I mean, but please feel free to translate that or interpret that as universe. Because I think many people nowadays also have that in their colloquialism. I think that's, I said it right. I don't like this word. I think I always mispronounce it. So, you know, there's always this, you're surrounded by this energy of this guilt and on a spiritual level. So this is what this surah comes and you know, talks about that. So it's beautiful what the first verse is, and you might have already guessed. It says, "Wadduha," by the morning brightness. and the night when it stand, when it falls still. Your Lord, O Prophet, has not abandoned you, nor has he become hateful of you. So, you know, it is such a beautiful beginning of the surah. Like, Allah swears. So the thing is, in the Quran, Allah swears by things, because if he wants to emphasize something, that's what we also do in our life, in our daily lives, right? When we want to emphasize the gravity of our statement, we swear upon something. So, but Allah swears upon his creations. But the science behind why he chooses certain things to swear upon is outside the scope of this podcast, so I'm not getting into that. However, but it's beautiful that the first thing that Allah talks about is the morning sunlight, the morning brightness, that Allah takes his attention, he diverts his attention to exactly this aspect, that, you know, this, look at the morning, look at the sunlight, look at the brightness of this day. See how bright and this day is and the opportunities that it gives you. And Allah brings his attention to that, because, you know, we can also argue here, you know, he could have sworn upon something else. He could have sworn upon another of his creation. For example, in Islam, we believe that time is created by Allah, and in one place in the Quran, he also swears upon time. But here he does not swear upon time. He swears upon something very specific, and, you know, scholars question that, like, why duha, why the breaking of sunlight? Because it breaks through the darkness, and it, you know, they have this light, and light has always, you know, a positive connotation. You know, light is something, when you're in the darkness, you need light to be guided, for example, right? So Allah says that, you know, when that when Allah swears upon that, he brings his attention to that. And then he says that by the night when it covers with darkness, here he presents two contrasts again, right? Like, on one hand, you have this bright day, the full of opportunities, full of new energies. And then you have the darkness also, where, you know, you again feel a bit, where you feel a bit again lost or somehow. So Allah in these three talks about the spiritual depression, where he says that Allah talks to him, that, "O Muhammad, I have not forgotten you, nor have I become hateful of you." But the surah is very specifically to talking to Prophet Muhammad, but we have, but this is also applicable on us, where Allah, you know, for example, if I only read the third ayah, "Ma wada'aka rabbuka wa ma qala," your Lord has not taken leave of you, nor has he detested you. You know, it shows that although he's talking to Prophet Muhammad, but he talks to each and every one of us. And then, you know, Allah goes forward and he talks about in the surah that, you know, like, you will be the even if now it looks bleak, it looks unpleasant, it looks gloomy, the future is better. You know, there's another verse in the Quran where Allah says, ayah in the Quran where Allah says that, "Inna ma'al usri yusra," that with ease, with difficulty comes ease. Allah never says that after difficulty comes ease. So, you know, it is our task, so to say, to always find the blessing in disguise. We are told twice, Allah repeats that in the "Inna ma'al usri yusra," fa inna ma'al usri yusra, where Allah repeats that with difficulty comes ease. So, you know, there's, and the Allah, where he uses the word difficulty, it's a singular, but with ease, he uses the plural form. So, you know, and subhanAllah for that, you know, it's beautiful that Allah is propagating such a positive attitude towards life, that Allah says that, okay, there are difficulties out there, but with difficulties, there is ease also, and in plural form. So, you know, so even if now, if it looks difficult, The future, the hereafter, is definitely going to be better. Here Allah talks to Prophet ﷺ, where he talks about his future as well as the life that comes after the death. So, but here I'm going to try to keep a balance between, you know, today's modern times interpretation and the religious text interpretation. And then, you know, Allah goes on saying that, you know, he says then in the to tackle the topic of social depression, Allah reminds Prophet ﷺ of things that, you know, he poses some rhetorical questions. And, you know, you usually pose a rhetoric when not to state, not to, not to ask something new, but to ask something you already know. So for example, like if a teacher is mad at you and if you made teacher mad by being very disrespectful, the teacher could go, am I not your teacher? So this question is not to ask the student if I'm a teacher or not, it's given. But the idea is that the teacher brings the attention back to it, you know, to the important aspect. So Allah in this surah, I would invite you to go through it yourself. I'm not going to go into detail because we do not have enough time for that. I'm already at my 20 minutes. So what Allah does is that He brings back His attention and tries to remind him of the favors that He gave him. And this is the attitude that, you know, Allah tries to bring to people, which I was talking about yesterday, that, you know, we are allowed to be sad because we need to process our sadness. We are allowed to feel depressed. All these emotions, Allah is not, if you read the surah, you will see that He's not criticizing him. He's just reminding him at the same time that, okay, I understand that you're going through this, but remember, this is what has happened in your past and this is how I helped you. So, you know, Allah tries to propagate this idea of positivity and optimism, that try to think of the blessings that you have in your life. The last 4 or 5 days I've been quite homesick, actually, and I'm just going to give an example now, and I was feeling really, really sad, and you know, I started to look around a bit, and I was thinking that I'm alhamdulillah, I have a job now, and many friends around me, we have our jobs. You know, we are safe wherever we are. We do not have COVID at the moment. We haven't lost our family yet to that. And so many people have lost their loved one, their grandparents, because of COVID. One of my friends, she actually lost both her parents, mom and dad, to coronavirus. And because, not only because they couldn't be treated, because there were not enough ventilators in UK. And you know, I think about those, and I start realizing that I'm at least blessed with my parents. I called my parents today and I talked to them, and that made me feel so much better. And I'm happy that, you know, I get to come across the surah today, because I was emotionally quite down, but you know, just going through this gives me so much hope and gives me so much things to look forward to, that, you know, I might be feeling sad for other things, but I also need to remember there are so many things going right in my life. And I need to acknowledge them before they're taken away from me for whatever reason, right? So this is what Allah diverts His attention to also. That it's really beautiful. What I will just read one ayah, ayah number 8. Did He not find you needy, then satisfy your needs? So, you know, here Allah focuses on the word needs here. And I really find this incredible, because sometimes our sometimes our anxiety might stem from things we might not actually need, but these are perhaps our wants, right? Perhaps some luxury, whatever that is. For example, there's a beautiful saying, I don't know if it's a hadith or there was a really beautiful saying I came across, that you are a rich person if you were able to feed yourself twice a day and you had a roof over your head and you went to your bed really safe. So, you know, this is exactly what Allah talks about here, that, you know, all right, you're feeling sad, you are feeling anxious. Process that, but also remember that your other needs have been satisfied. Don't forget that. And then, just to close this surah and also towards the end of my talk, Allah says that Allah tries to bring about this mindset that, you know, you sometimes when you feel that you are really down, and you're not happy, if you help people find their happiness, you might as well find your own happiness. You know, your life might as well gives you a purpose. It gives you so much happiness. I'm not saying that to brag in any way. Astaghfirullah, like may Allah prevent my heart from any kind of arrogance. But last week, what we did in the spirit of Ramadan, we made boxes for homeless people and to share food with them. One person said to me, and then he says that, you know, thank you so much for giving me food. I haven't had warm food for the last 4 days. And you know, that statement really, I still have that face of that guy in my mind, and the statement still stuck in me somehow. Like how unsatisfied we might feel if we do not have a warm food to eat even for 1 day. you know, I've heard this statement quite often in my life that, yeah, I at least need to have one warm meal in the day. Otherwise, I don't feel that I've eaten anything. No, it's something that I've heard a lot. And I heard that. And, you know, when I was doing that deed, it really filled me with joy. You know, this inner inner peace somehow. I came across this beautiful Facebook post also where, you know, this professor did an experiment in the class where he, I don't know if it's real or not, even if it's not, but this message is beautiful and I would love to quote this. A professor came in the class and he asked every student, so there was a class of 60 people, and he asked every student to write his name on a balloon. Like, you inflate a balloon and you write your name on the balloon, and then all the students of 60, they take their balloons and they put it in a room. And now everyone goes, and the first task, you go and find your own balloon. And everyone does it, and it's really tedious work to find it. And they finally did. But then what they do, the professor said, okay, now let's do it differently. Everyone helps the other person to find their balloon. And it was so much more efficient. It was so much more faster. And everyone had fun doing that. Because in the first task, everyone was focused on finding their balloon. But on the other, they were helping each other out. And it was more fun to do that. And then the professor said, this is exactly how happiness works. And I think this is just so profound and deep. I really love this example. And I think that's why what Allah says here in the last three ayah before he ends the surah, he says that, you know, do not oppress an orphan and do not repel a beggar. You know, people who come and ask you, they're already being difficult to, it's already difficult for them to ask. But if they do, try to help them out. You know, try to be kind to an orphan. Like, you know, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says that at one point that, you know, if you feel that your heart is hardened, go and caress the head of an orphan. Of course, you know, we can extrapolate that idea to showing kindness to people, to showing even a smile, for example, is a charity in Islam. And I think it's a beautiful way of charity by just smiling, having a smile on your face. Sometimes when I look people smiling, I feel like smiling back it just cheers me up a bit. So I think sometimes it helps to find our happiness and joys by spreading the joy, by spreading exactly the sentiment we think we do not have in our lives at the moment. And then beautifully Allah ends the surah by saying that وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Count your blessings. It's one of the meanings. I'm not going to go through all of them. One of the meanings is count your blessings. Count the blessings that you have. Always have this attitude whenever you feel down, whenever you feel sad, it's okay, as I said again. Please do not take this in any way that I'm criticizing this emotion. It's completely normal and human to do that. And that's exactly what even Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through. And I think, you know, where we can always seek professional help, you know, but we can also professional help is with us perhaps once a week, right? And we are with us every second of the day. So we can always do something that will make us happy. We can always do something that can cheer us up, and that is always through, we can count the blessings we have, and we can also see, you know, for example, you know, when I used to live in Dubai, I was really ashamed of my skin color. Like, you know, I come from this culture where white skin is considered beautiful. You know, you have this huge mindset that white is pretty. And I was using whitening creams for 5 years in my life. I don't want to name it's quite embarrassing to name to name that cream, but most of my friends from India and Pakistan would know which cream it is. But you know, I used to be very unhappy in my skin. It took me a long, long time. Actually, when I moved to Germany, even I was racially discriminated because of my skin color. And it really, not only that, also because of my religion. And it always made me feel so bad about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I started to make peace with it by the fact that I started to see that, okay, even if my skin is brown and I'm happy with it, at least my skin is clear. I do not have any I do not have any. I do not have a skin cancer. I'm not suffering from any kind of skin disease that would make my skin look completely awkward or whatever. That would make me even unhappier. So you know, I always was focusing on the thing that I did not have, and I try to count my blessing whenever I feel down. And I think this is a very healthy mindset that Allah tries to give us through the surah. Not only us, of course, he gave it to Prophet Muhammad and also to the entire mankind. And I think it's beautiful that how the surah starts with knowing that the morning is the time where you can go out, where you can just, you know, it's amazing how people feel different when the sun is out, when the sky is clear. You know, it's a beautiful feeling, you know, and I think it's beautiful that Allah brings us that to our attention. So I really hope that for all the challenges that we are facing now in these difficult times, I really hope that Allah puts barak up, He puts blessing in our time, He puts peace in our heart, He guides us to happiness, to finding happiness, and I really hope that we find healthy ways of dealing with our depressions, dealing with our things that makes us sad, and also at the same time, he nurtures a habit in us where we start thanking, where we start showing gratitude for things that we already have, and we appreciate what we have. We appreciate our friends. We appreciate the ease, the luxury of reaching out to people so easy these days, and so that we are able to, in some parts, even if we have corona lockdown, we can still afford food. If we can afford that, if we can still afford eating twice or thrice a day. And I really hope that we start, you know, developing this habit of focusing on our blessings as well. And with that, I'd like to conclude today's episode, and I really hope Allah keeps us safe. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.